Hi-ho!
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 Hi-ho! Hi-ho! It's home from work we go. Hi-ho! 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 It's home from work we go.
Morning, folks. You thought probably the children's talk was all over. It was all done. But as we come to the last week of our series on work, and as we spill over and the weekend's about to end, Monday morning arises us and waits for us. And as most of us will head to work, will any of us be as joyous as those seven dwarfs as they hi-ho to work and they dig to work? Will any of you be as joyous and happy enough when Monday morning arises? As you wake up and you see yourself in the mirror and you get ready, where you put on your suit or your work outfit, are you excited that Monday is here and that you get to start your working week? Sadly though, as we go into the workplace, you'll find probably Dopey Dwarf or a grumpy dwarf as they slowly get to work and they've got a sour face and they're just so bitter and angry that it's a Monday already. You know, you got the angry dwarf. Well, you got the dopey dwarf. You know, he's the one dragging his feet. Oh, it's Monday, it's work, I've got to start the computer up, got to write the reports. Or you have, like most of my employees, sleepy dwarf. They rock up at 9 o'clock, they've had a full weekend already, and they're still yawning and they're sleeping as they get to their work and they get to their desk and they're yawning. But very rarely will you find a happy dwarf, a happy worker that's excited, that's ready to go. Monday, 8:30, it's time for work, and they're really joyous about work. But you see, unfortunately, I guess a lot of us will probably think that, yeah, we're probably similar to maybe a sleepy or a dopey or a grumpy dwarf. As we wake up and we think about, yep, Monday means the start of our working week. As I guess, you know, Sunday, you know, it's a highlight of our week. You know, we get to gather, we get to fellowship, we get to sing songs, we get to serve God. And it's almost like that's the Sunday is the pinnacle of our week, and then Monday falls away until we look forward to the weekend and we look forward to the Sunday. But what I've really appreciated about this series on work, as Owen and Andrew has been taking us through, is to really delve into the Bible, even from the beginning of Genesis. Our work was designed according to God's good plan. That work all matters to God, that it is so important. As we arise and as we catch the train or jump in our cars or even walk or ride to work, God is concerned about what we do at work. You see, all work matters to God. And hopefully you've come away after the first 5 weeks ringing that all work matters to God. Your work matters to God. What you do on a Monday to Friday or even Saturday, your work matters to God. And so I'd really, really hope that over this work series, that as Christians, as brothers and sisters, that we fuse back our work life and our spiritual worship life together. That we don't no longer separate our Sunday, our worship session, where we come and gather this morning, to what we do at work. But we fuse that back together. I mean, like, I really love where a good illustration of Kevin Costa. Kevin's a vice chairman of a major investment bank in London, UBS Investment Bank, which probably never will know. And what he does is he treats his workstation as his worship station. Get that? He treats his workstation as his worship station. Because that's the right attitude he's got. You see, he sees his work as another form of worship to God. Whether it be trading billions of dollars on the share market, or whether it be giving advice to the top 10 companies. He sees what he does on a Monday to Friday as part of his worship to God. He doesn't separate between what he does on a Sunday and what he does on a Monday to Friday. And he knows that he's doing the will of God and that all his work matters to God. And for students, as you prepare to work, hopefully this has really given you some food to think about how you're going to be a worker, whether it be in the physio, whether it be in a practice, whether it be in an office. And so this morning, as Tim read, we're going to be working through the passage of Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 to 9. And it is an amazing message that Paul writes to us. You see, it really shows us that God is concerned with what we do at work, but how we operate. And that's what we're going to delve in this morning. You see, we've been working on, God is concerned with what we do at work, what our work matters to God. But we're going to look at this morning is, well, how do we operate in our business environment? How do we actually do our business? How do we do our work? And what I really want to focus on is Christian ethics and ask you these key questions. Well, if God is concerned with the work that you do, are you pleasing God in your work? Are you ethical at work? Are you making ethical decisions? Do you have integrity at work? And do you have a high ethical standard at work? You see, the reason why I'm drilling on the word ethics is because we need to hold a high ethical standard in this world. Friends, it is hard to hold a high ethical standard in our work, as there's so much pressure coming from the top, from our supervisors, from our managers, to get more market share, to increase the profits, that when it comes up between profit and ethics, profit seems to always win. I'm like, look at Enron, massive, massive American energy company that due to corruption, due to dodgy financial reporting, due to misleading the board, it led to one of the largest bankruptcies in America, in American's history at that time. Where was the integrity? Where was the code of ethics in that company? You see, in a world that's lost in corporate greed and corporate corruption, we as Christians need to hold a higher ethical ground for God's sake, because all work matters to God. And so to help us understand, and in this corrupt workplace, how as we as Christians can be honouring God, we're going to be working through this passage, and we're going to be using this as a compass so that we, that we may be wow workers. Hey. A wow worker, a wow, somebody that's going to be somebody different, that's going to be wowing other colleagues, suppliers, and wowing our managers. Now, the W stands for will of God. Verse 6. Read with me in verse 6. Obey them not only to win their favour when their eye is on you, but like slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Now, don't let that verse bypass you for a second. You're doing the will of God. As you go into your dentist practice, or if you go into the shop, or if you go into the office on Monday, what you are doing the will of God. It's all part of God's plan that you're there. He has a purpose for you there. And it is important what you are doing. God is concerned with what you do at work and how you operate at work. And so if you're thinking your work is invaluable, what you are doing on a Monday to Friday, look at this verse. You are doing the will of God. But as another point that raises in verse 6 is, you know, in many organisations, there's managers' conference, there's, you know, say, managers' meetings, and when all the managers exit the office, what happens? Productivity goes down. Long lunch breaks. Long coffee breaks. Start rocking up work late. And you see it all the time. It's because they can get away with it. The managers aren't around. It's party time. Everybody, yeah! But see, Paul warns that as Christian workers, we're not to slacken off just because our managers are not around. Because you, friends, are doing the will of God. And you see, even though our managers aren't around, we're supposed to do our work with respect and fear. You see, we need to remember that God, our Master, our Heavenly Master, looks at all things. He doesn't knock off Monday to Friday and think, oh, whatever they do on Monday, Friday, I don't care. But Sunday, hey, I'm going to look at what they're doing. You see, God is above all. He is our Master and He sees all. He sees when you rock up late to work when you can. He sees when you have extended lunch breaks. He sees when you take the early Friday afternoon mark. And what I really, really want to stress this morning is personal emails. That's a difficult one, isn't it? Companies struggle with this all the time. I'm like, you sit in front of your workplace, your computer, and you can easily get away with Facebooking, Twittering, YouTubing all the time. I'm like, our company has gone to the extent that they've blocked all that. I can't get onto Facebook, YouTube or Twitter. That's why I've got so many invitations, but I don't even know how to accept them and the rest of it. But you might be thinking, oh, but it's okay, you know, it's Facebook, I only do it now and again. But really question, if God is over your shoulder looking at what you're doing and the amount of time you're spending as you do the will of God, would He be happy with the amount of time you're spending on YouTube emails or your personal emails? And that also relates to whether it be ministry-related emails as well. I know that all of you guys are serving a lot and the rest of it, and you might be consumed with getting back to emails about ministry-related stuff. But maybe delegate that time during lunch hour to maybe only respond to those emails. Because when we're working Monday to Friday, shouldn't we be dedicated with respect and fear and sincerity of heart doing the will of God in our workplaces? And so we need to hold a higher ethical standard. Even though we can hide it away from our earthly masters, our supervisors, we need to hold a higher ethical standard as our God above sees all. And we serve Him in our workplaces. Now, O stands for obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity heart, just as you would obey Christ. As workers, we need to obey the instructions, the requests, the orders given by our employees. And you see, notice how we're not to only just go through the motions of just, you know, whether it be photocopying, whether it be, you know, copying that report, whether it be giving a lecture, but we're supposed to do it with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. So what he's saying is, as your supervisor or your employer wants you to fix that computer system, process those invoices, he wants you to do it just as if Christ gave you those commands. Because if Christ gave me those commands, I'd be going straight away and doing it with all my heart and with sincerity and fear, just as if I would obey Christ. Not, oh man, I have to photocopy, I have to process these invoices, I have to write this report. But he wants us to do it with sincerity and heart. But also remember who Paul's speaking to in this Ephesians. Remember who he's addressing to here. Verse 5, slaves. There was no equal opportunities law there. There was no any discrimination. There was no unions to fight for these slaves. The slaves would have to do the lowest common denominator jobs, whether it be clean the streets, clean the horses, whatever that master requested, they would have to do. And do you think they were treated with respect? Or, you know, oh, look, slave, can you please clean up our toilet? Please. No. They would have treated harshly. And so as a slave, you think, Paul's telling me that I'm supposed to obey my earthly masters, but not only obey them, but obey them with respect and fear. And Paul's saying, yeah, you are. Just as if you would obey Christ, because what you're doing the will of God. What you're doing is honouring God. And so do it as if you are serving God. I'm like, we serve God here and we do it with all our might and our heart through our passion. I'm like, that's the way we should do our work. It's our other form of worship on a Monday to Friday. And why should we obey Him? Why should we obey Christ? Because as we read this passage in Ephesians, we just need to flick over a page. And you've just been preaching to us the amazing gospel in chapters 1 to 3. Let me just throw a few at you. Chapter 1, verse 3. Praise to be God, our Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Verse 7 to 8. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that He's lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. Chapter 2, verse 4 to 5, because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. We're indebted to Christ. He has made us alive. He's given us the Spirit, the freedom for us to serve Him and do the will of God in our workplaces. And that's what we're supposed to do. Obey the commands of our superiors, our supervisors, with sincerity and heart. The question I want to ask you is then, when are we not to obey our earthly masters? When does God require us not to actually stand up, to stand up for Him and actually not obey the earthly masters? And that's when our supervisors ask us to do something that's illegal, unjust or unethical. That's when we're to stand up for God, because God is ultimately our master in heaven, and His commands and His laws supersede any earthly request given by our managers. And this is where ethics really comes into play, doesn't it? So there's some ethics that is quite clear, that's black and white, whether it be stealing. We all know that's, you know, God commands us not to steal. We're not to steal stationery, steal the time from our workplaces. But what is really, really hard, and I know that many of you struggle, is the ethical boundary where it's all grey. Say, let me give you a few circumstances. Manager goes away on the weekend, goes down on the boat, takes his friends out, and, you know, just racks up heaps of expenses, goes to the best restaurants, and then comes to you on the Monday morning and goes, Mark, here's some invoices, just claim as tax. Just claim it under the company expense, that'll be fine. Now, what do you do there? If you're Mark and you're the accountant looking after the company expenses, well, I'm thinking, well, yeah, I want to please my earthly master. Yeah, sure, God tells me to obey my earthly masters, but, and I know it's not against, you know, it's against law and the rest of it, but I'm not breaking the law, am I? It's my boss is breaking the law. I'm just the mediator between it. So what do I do there? Or let's say Neville. Neville's my used car salesman. Selling him a car. Every car comes with, you have to pay stamp duty, yeah? Now you have to go to the RTA and pay stamp duty. Now Neville's selling me a car, wonderful, you know, Subaru, family car, and as we're going through the price negotiations, does he tell me that I have to pay stamp duty later on, which is 3%, which is quite a significant cost? Or he knows that car's been in a major car accident. Panel's a little bit dingy, you can't really see it, and the rest of it. Does he tell the customer, oh, you know, that car's been in a major accident, plus you have to also pay stamp duty and the rest of it? You see, he needs to make sales target. Sales manager's on his back going, Neville, you need to make sales target. End of month. Sell that car. We need to get rid of it. It's an old stocker. It's a Subaru. Nobody wants it. Nobody wants Subarus. People want Lexuses. Yeah. But, or say,
Stubbsy here.
Stubbsy, he's got a manufacturing process and looks after BAC gases. Not exactly sure what you do, but let's say you build the pipes and all the pipes from I don't know where we get gas, but from the gas to I don't know, the plant. And you're under cost. You know, it's we just came off the global financial crisis. Anthony, we need to cut expenses. And so you've got a quote, and you've said to the supplier, "Yep, okay, let's go with you." And then another colleague goes, "Hey, I just actually found a." A week later, another colleague comes and goes, "I actually found a quote, and it's about $10,000 cheaper." What do you do there? You've already given the first supplier the order. He's already ordered the goods, all these big pipes and the rest of it. But you can save your company $10,000. So what do you do there? Or last one. Roger. Roger owns a dental equipment. He does dental and the rest of it. Those chairs. You know those chairs? They're expensive chairs. They're like, what, 20 grand? More than 50. 50. Let's go 50. They're expensive. Yeah, let's say you pay it off, you got financial repayments. Say the guy who built the chair doesn't invoice you for a couple of months. It's a big expense there. You're laughing a bit, you're going, "Oh, he's forgotten to invoice me." Do I go, "Hey Roger, Bob, you forgot to invoice me, two of the guys. I'd be happy to pay for it, so just send it to me." Or do you just keep your mouth shut because it was his obligation to send you the invoice? And so these ethical boundaries, these grey ones, are so difficult. And it really comes alive when you're a Christian in this workplace doing the will of God. I want to give you four recommendations to think through. There's no one clear answer to all those scenarios. But firstly, it's good that you have a stirring of heart if you're wrestling around what to do. Because that's the Holy Spirit wrestling in your heart saying, "What should I do?" As a non-Christian, it's easy. I know the plain answer to that. No, don't pay that invoice. Go with the other supplier. I can save 10 grand. Sell that car. Don't tell them about the stamp duty or the crash. It's easy. But that stirring of the heart is good of the soul. But firstly, seek the truth. And when I say seek the truth, look, we've given this Bible for a reason, aren't we? Seek God's word on what He might have to say on that. What He might have to say about your situation. I'm like, Andrew's pointed us a wonderful, wonderful occasion of Daniel, where Daniel, an amazing worker, yet he would find different ways to be able to please the king and also please God. When seeking the truth, pray. Never underestimate the amazing power of prayer to open and give you some wisdom. Thirdly, in seeking the truth, maybe speak to a fellow brother or sister. Speak to your cell group and go, "Leader," and just maybe ask them what they would do in that situation. Secondly, maybe look at your motives. Because often in the cases, we want to seek our earthly boss first. We want to get that promotion. We want to get a good title. We want to be seen good in the light of our earthly masters. But we need to look at our motives. Are we seeking God first and then our earthly masters, or our earthly masters first? Thirdly, consider the consequences of your decisions. And fourthly, stand for God. I don't want to repeat what Andrew said, but it was a wonderful reminder for me how Daniel would stand for God in the face of this king, Nebuchadnezzar. And in many circumstances, we may have to stand up for God. And first and foremost, it may be to the detriment of us climbing that corporate ladder, but we need to stand up for God. And so that's when we are not to obey our earthly masters, when it pushes those ethical boundaries and when it compromises our faith. Thirdly, for part of our wow worker is wholeheartedly. Let's have a look at the Bible again. Verse 7. Serve wholeheartedly as if you are serving the Lord, not men. Once again, Paul's reiterating there, we're serving the Lord in what we're doing. But notice how In that passage that Tim's read, Paul's mentioned the word heart a couple of times and wholeheartedly. You see, what Paul's saying is, we're to do the will of God at our workplace on Monday to Friday. We're to obey our earthly masters because it's out of faith we do this. It is an outflow from our heart that we honour God in our workplace, and we're to do it wholeheartedly. Because we've got to read this passage in context again. That we serve wholeheartedly because of what Christ has done for us, as we read in chapters 1 to 3. And we're to obey and do the work wholeheartedly as if we were serving Christ. Imagine if for a housewife is cooking and they've been told that Jesus is coming to the dinner place for dinner. Imagine how much effort you would go in making sure that meal would be going good. Or imagine if you Jesus was going to look at the next report you're going to do. How much effort you would put into that? You wouldn't do a half-hearted job, would you? You put every extra mile that you could into it. And that's what Paul's commanding us to do it wholeheartedly, because of out of our heart, out of our faith, we do that. Not for self-promotion, not for greed, but because we are serving the Lord and doing the will of God in our workplace. E. The E in well worker is in verse 9. There is no favoritism with him. You know, often when you go into you got a group, there's a party or a networking session that you go to. You know, you meet a new person. Hi, how you doing? I'm Chester, how you doing? What are you doing? Question always comes up. What do you do? First two questions always comes up. What do you do? That the answer that you say now, then the person will then start to think, ooh. So if you go, I'm a doctor, the other person thinks, oh, this guy's pretty smart. You know, he's pretty intelligent. You know, he must be pretty cluey. Must be loaded with cash. Or he goes, oh, you know, I'm an IT manager. Oh, yeah, he's pretty smart. Yeah, I've got a computer question I might ask him. Or if you say, hi, I'm a used car salesman. Oh, I better check my wallets. Have you taken my wallets? Yeah. There's a stereotype in terms of what you do is who you are. And we have this general kind of like hierarchy that we set up in society, putting, you know, certain occupations up here and certain occupations down here. But Paul reminds us that there is no favoritism with God when he looks at our occupations. You see, God doesn't look at your business title, your salary package, or what your company cars and the rest of it. God sees how you serve God, serve Him in your workplaces, as you serve wholeheartedly, doing the will of God in your workplaces. You see, it's not the business title or income or status or degree that He cares about, but it is how you operate, how you make the ethical business decisions that you do. But on the flip side, if you think that your job is, I don't have that great business title, I don't have that great salary, and you don't think that your workplace or what you do is valuable, I think you need to hold a higher value in what you do. Because God doesn't see the title, but he values what you do. And so if you think that you don't have that prestigious business title or whatever it may be, and you don't value and you think, oh, it's not important what I do on a Monday or Friday, think again. Because what really matters is you're all full-time workers of God at the end of the day. Whether you're a minister like Huge or Owen, whether you're a Bible study college student, or whether you're a dentist, whether you're a housewife, whether you're a baker, whether you're an optometrist, all work matters to God and you're serving God. So you know what? You're a full-time worker of God. You are a full-time worker of God. We think that Huge and Owen are just full-time workers of God. Full-time workers of God. Galatians 3:26 reminds us of that equality that we have in Christ. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized in Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. who is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you're all one in Christ. And that just reminds us that we are all one in Christ. And that's the amazing picture that we have here, that we are all equal because we're all in Christ. Whatever we do at work, we're all equal in God's eyes. And lastly, there are, in the wow worker, is reward. The Lord will reward for everyone for whatever good he does. And that's in verse 8. Now, this puzzled me for a little while, actually, because I'm thinking, well, it seems a bit odd. What I do at work, then God's going to reward me. Good for good, bad for bad. That's not consistent with the rest of the Bible. But then what really helped me decipher this passage is Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 to 24. Let's read it. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. What really strikes me is that you know that you will receive an inheritance for the Lord. And receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. You know, that switched on a bit of a light bulb for me. Why? Because in Ephesians, whereabouts? He's mentioned something about an inheritance, hasn't he? Chapter 1. Verse 14. Oh, let me read verse 13. As you were included in Christ, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having believed, you are marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possessions to the praise of his glory. You see, what Paul's reminding the fellow slaves that he's talking about and the masters, what he's saying is, let me remind you that you've been given a reward far greater than money, than wages, and a salary package, than a company car, superannuation, a bonus. You've been given an internal inheritance through Christ. That's what Paul is reminding his workers as you trudge to work. The currency that we trade in is not of earthly currency, it is of heavenly currency, isn't it? That's amazing. See, often we think that we work for money, for our wages, for our daily bread. But we work to serve the Lord because we've already received an amazing inheritance. That through Christ, we have an internal inheritance that's living with Christ. That's utopia. We would no longer have to worry about where business ethics and the rest of it, but we will live with God. And so, yeah, hopefully this has just reminded you as you go to work that you'll be like one of those happy dwarfs skipping along to work, to your workplace on a Monday. You'll rise tomorrow morning and you'll go, hallelujah! I get to serve God. I can do the will of God on Monday. I can, when I obey my earthly masters, when I make ethical business decisions, I am serving God. I treat my office, my workstation, as my worship station. The way I treat with my colleagues, my managers, the way I obey my managers, the way I treat my third suppliers, I am honouring God. I'm serving Him, doing the will of God, because I've received an amazing, amazing inheritance. And so imagine if all of us were wow workers in our workplaces, doing the will of God, obeying Christ, doing it wholeheartedly, knowing that we're equal in Christ, and knowing that we received a reward, we would win their good favour, wouldn't we, of our non-Christian friends. And I just want to finish off with this, that in our workplaces, how many non-Christians are there? How many non-Christians are amongst us, arm's length? Colleagues, our superiors, our third-party suppliers, our customers. First and foremost, you need to let them know that you're a Christian. and then the way you operate. Imagine you have one employee that grumbles always about what the master does, or they slacken off when the managers go away, but no, he's a solid. You, as a Christian worker, you're different. You're a salt into this world, a light to this world. Imagine what good representation you are doing for gospel, for the gospel and for God. And I love it in Titus, how Paul is saying that in every way we are to make the teaching about God, our Saviour, attractive. And so the key question is what you're doing at work, the business decisions you make, the way that you obey Christ, are you doing it so you're making God our Saviour attractive? And so my prayer is that you and I will be wow workers for God. So let me pray. Our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks, Lord, that you've given us places to go to serve you, and that you look over exactly what we do on a Monday to Friday. And as Monday is around the corner, Lord, now we have a different perspective on work, that our work matters to you, and how we operate in our workplaces matters to you. So Lord, may your Holy Spirit be a deposit in our hearts, so that out of our hearts we will serve you in our workplaces, obeying you, doing your will, Lord, making the higher ethical business standards, Lord, the business decisions, Lord. Whatever we do, Lord, may we serve and honour you. And we pray in your Son's name. Amen.